better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Tell you what's trending here on the Morning Rush. So go ahead, Matty T. Tell the people what's trending here today.
Well, we've got some headlines for you here on the Morning Rush. Razorback Baseball officially released their 2020 schedule with some solid non-conference games like Oklahoma, Texas, Baylor, and Michigan State. They have conference home games versus Florida, Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M, and Georgia, while also playing SEC road games versus Mississippi State, Ole Miss, LSU, South Carolina, and Tennessee. Football Scoop is reporting that Jim Harbaugh and his representatives are looking to get out of Michigan at the end of this season and find a new gig in the NFL. Michigan is out to a disappointing 5-2 start.
Wouldn't we love to have a disappointing 5-2 start here, Matty?
That would be as disappointing for us.
Instead, we got a 2-5 start.
We build statues for 5-2.
Right.
Well, speaking of how things are going with the Razorbacks, during football practice yesterday, it was reported by Hogbeat.com that Ben Hicks and Davion Warren got into a shouting match after Hicks was way overthrew Warren on air drills. They had to be separated by assistant coaches, and there's no report on whether or not they settled the matter in a good old-fashioned Oklahoma drill right then and there.
I thought you were going to say a good Oklahoma something else.
No. It's a drill.
Bleep whooping.
No. Just the drill.
Be sure to head to hitthatline.com for all fantastic Morning Rush content and great Razorback coverage with articles, videos, podcasts, and more. Only available at hitthatline.com.
Not as good as the Gaston's read, I would say, but still has the same emphatic, dramatic order to that. So there you go, Matty.
That's something we can work with. Yeah. There's the first one. We can improve from there.
Yeah, right? There's nothing but improvement there. Yeah. But so there you have it. There you go. And a good job on the training. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you can tell this, Tommy, but I wrote that script.
Oh, I could tell.
Yeah, could you tell? Yeah. Could you tell by the ridiculousness over the topness of it all? We're going to have fun with that. But yeah, we'll do what's trending throughout the Morning Rush. And as always, head over to hitthatline.com to check it out. So what's your beef Wednesday? So if you want to get in on a conversation of giving your beefs, be sure to call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. Nobody does it like Tommy does it, you know.
Exactly. There's only one.
Lay down. I mean, he should patent that thing. by the way, insecticide is bug killer where I'm from.
Insecticides, you
know, it's easier to say. at least we know the Razorbacks.
Insecticides
are
something
right
from the Panhandle, I think.
So. They're getting a little fiery in practice. I got a pulse. Tommy, you have a daughter, and I
two actually.
You were talking about. Digging through the trash.
Yes.
Looking for stuff. I had to find my daughter's car keys. I had to dig it out of the trash one time. And, you know, you warn them, don't lay your keys down. You know, keep up on, you know, how millennials, they just toss their keys. Well, I've had to dig it out of the trash. She lost her keys on Mount Nebo hiking trail. I mean, it's ridiculous. But it's a shame that we've become the laughing stock of college football. I mean, if you've watched the sports shows lately, when they talk about Tua having that ankle injury, then the next thing they say is, don't laugh, but they play Arkansas Saturday. You know, we are rice, guys.
Yeah.
We have become rice. Mm. Would you agree?
No, I believe it.
I think that's demeaning to Rice, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think
it would ever happen.
Well, Danny, I don't think that we have an exact grading system of it all, but I don't see any reason to believe why Arkansas not right now is not the worst Power 5 team in the country.
Well, here's
we're definitely worst in the SEC.
Maybe Rutgers is worse, but that maybe be it.
How do you ever get back on track? How do you ever get back? How do you get out of this? It's not even a rut.
Well, I don't know. I tell you what, guys. I think it starts with a little bit of pride in your what people are saying about you. They're laughing at you. I mean, we're in the not top 10, and we're laughed at. Alabama, they say Alabama doesn't. Oh, don't worry about Arkansas. It's just Arkansas. It's just Rice, you know. But anyway, guys. Thanks for taking my call and have a good day.
Thanks, Danny.
Appreciate it as always, Danny. I mean, it's you're the laughing stock mainly because you do laughing stock things.
Yeah.
You know, when not only are you losing, but when you have fake punt fiascos like you have, when you lose to San Jose State like you have, those are the things that get added into the mix. Because again, it's one thing to lose, but it's one thing to be in a laughing stock, as Danny so succinctly put it. And that's what Arkansas is seeing themselves as right now.
My concern is, okay, this has been going on, and there were some real understandable reasons how you got here 4 or 5 years ago. You're still here. And I think a lot of it still comes back to offensive line, and they can't get that on track, and they can't get anything offensively going because of that. But this thing, as every week goes by and every season goes by, you just wonder, okay, this has been going on for how long? Since 2012, 2013, you hired Bielema and came in here, and nothing really ever consistently panned out there. How much longer, I mean, how do you ever get out of this? How are you ever led out of this wilderness?
That's
who
the
is
question.
Our Moses?
That's the question.
Is
Moses on staff right now?
I mean, where is the path out? Because this seems like you're wondering for 40 years, man. I hate to get biblical, but this is what it feels like. How do you ever get out of here?
I don't know. I don't know. Because
it's going to take more than just a football coach to
yes.
do it.
Well, because I was about to say, it's simple to just say fire the coach, get somebody else in.
You've got bigger issues.
Yeah,
I think.
It's going to take a lot more than
that. I think it goes
that.
Above the football coach. And you know, I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday, and just talking about, you know, and he was commenting on just, you know, you used to have a lot of people that played for the Razorbacks, people that had lifetime Razorback connections, you might say, in the administration. And he got to thinking about that. You don't have those anymore. You know, I'd thought of that before, but never really connected that dot with that's part of why you're at where you're at. And, you know, his opinion was that was part of our issue is, you know, and I can't argue that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't argue that position at all.
No.
That, you know, you need more people that Frank Broyles had around. People like Bill Gray that were on staff and Harold Horton,
mm-hmm.
Chuck Dykus, and people around that, they die for the Razorbacks. How many administrators you got up there right now that, most of them, it's very few people in that athletic department and senior administration that are from here, played here, that would die for the Razorbacks, you know? It used to be who you had that building filled with. I'd never considered that point really to part of the equation as to why you're at where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's something to it.
Yeah. Because a lot of people believe in the element of what Jeff Long and the previous administration did. And I'm not saying that they didn't do good things. I'm not saying that. But there was always that element to where there was, if you looked around the whole place, it was like none of these people understand or are from Arkansas that at least understand the passion.
Well,
and it's there's an element to it. I'm not saying that every one of them just doesn't care about the Razorbacks. That's not what I'm saying. But you got to have some of those people on staff. You got to have some of those people there to understand.
A lot of time people would say, those are Frank's yes men. Well, they were people
men worked.
They were people that understood what being a Razorback meant.
Yeah.
And because they had been one
mm-hmm.
in a lot of cases. Not every person up there on the staff, but they took pride in it because it meant something to them deep down. And you just wonder how many people you got in that building up there from the top down that it's really, I mean, it's really what makes you tick inside. And it makes you wonder deep down, how important is it?
You don't have that. And it feels like it's been missing since
Frank. Jeff Long got rid of that.
Yes.
That's all Frank Broyles had up there.
Yep.
It's Razorbacks first, Razorbacks second, Razorbacks third. That was the priority list.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not about the Razorbacks, you're not here.
Yeah, I mean, so, I don't know. That was a conversation I was having with a friend yesterday.
And it's a good one.
I just never thought of it. And in that context, that's a part of why this program's struggling. But then you look and you say, well, soccer's better than ever. Baseball's better than ever. Track and field's normally as elite as they are. But that's not what makes all this stuff tick.
Nope. It's not.
It takes football and basketball. And it's about, right now, it's, I'd say, 65 to 70%. I mean, as far as what you have to make it work, you need about 65 or 70% of your stuff coming around that football program from an athletic department standpoint, support, donations, ticket sales, revenue, all, you know, however you want to cut the pie up, because it all goes in there. About 20 to 25% is going to be basketball, men's basketball, and 5% is everything else, and including baseball, including women's basketball, including mm-hmm. all the, it's going to be 5, 6, 7% of everything.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's great that you're doing wonderful in soccer.
It is.
It's great that the women's gymnastic team is competitive, and it's great that, you know, all these other things, wonderful. But football and basketball are still what drive the boat, man. It's great that baseball consistently is nationally elite. But that ain't what keeps the doors open.
That's right. The foundation is football, and everything else on top of it is nice amenities and bonuses.
It's 60-70% football. It's 20-25% basketball. And even if you got this basketball program back to Final Four status, national championship level status, it still should always be in the shadows of the football program.
That's right.
As far as stature and finances and otherwise.
Yep.
And that's what you got to figure out. You know, that's why this thing is so important to get it figured out.
Mm-hmm. And it's not even to the point of figuring it out, because I know we have some people calling in. We'll get to you. But I'm just saying that it's not just about getting it turned around. It's just about getting it to where you're not an embarrassment anymore. Like,
just
no one's
respectable.
No one's expecting national championships as much as we'd all love them. All of them. No one's expecting that. No one's really expecting consistent 10-win seasons, as great as that may be. People want competitiveness. They want you to be in the conversation. They want you to be looked at when other teams are going through their schedule before the season starts, and they're saying, ooh, on the road at Arkansas, that might be a tough one. Mm-hmm. That's what people want, and they're not getting it right now.
But it's still going to – I mean, we can talk about administration, and we can talk about chancellors and ADs, and we can talk about board members, and you can talk about associate ADs and all that to your blue. It's still going to come back to – you got to find the right coach to run the program.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, you know, and there's a lot of understandable questions about where you're at with Chad Morris right now.
Yep.
And whether or not he is the guy that can lead you out of this.
It's
legitimate questions that everybody's got right now. Because right now you'd have to say no. But we'll see what happens. I mean, as far as how much time they're going to give him to figure it out, you know, That's the question right now. Hey, the fall celebration is on at Crabtree RV in Alma. Take advantage of RV show pricing on hundreds of new models, including Deer Hunter specials under $10,000, and wholesale to the public pricing on dozens of pre-owned RVs and the most for your trade. It's the fall celebration at Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13 off of I-40. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Jackson is in Ashdown. What's going on, Jackson?
I don't mind much. I'm telling you, we need more Arkansas boys on this team. They might not be 4 stars. They might not be close to 5 stars. But there's 3 stars, 2 stars, whatever. I mean, it's got to mean something to them putting that uniform on. Mm-hmm. And until they get boys, more boys from Arkansas, where the heart rate, it just comes from inside the heart to want to beat other people, take pride in their state. That's what we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I can even remember Oliver Miller back in the day. Even though he was a Dallas Texan, what did he do every time we beat Texas? He held those fingers up, had the horns down, and he would just he'd give them, you know what, out there in Dallas every time we win that SEC SWC tournament.
Yep.
And it's got to mean something to be a Razorback.
Yep.
It can't just be, well, I'm going to school there, you know. And it's got to be more than that. And we've got to find that player. I don't know. I can't find those players for them. I don't know how to recruit. But I do know one thing. Until they find some players that love the state of Arkansas, we want to see the state of Arkansas do well, we're not going to amount to much.
Well,
thank you very much, guys.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Jackson.
I mean, we talked about it earlier and used the biblical analogy. We're looking for Moses, man. Mm-hmm. This program is looking for their Moses because you're in the wilderness. You're in a destitute wilderness of college football right now. You need someone to lead you out. I sure as hell hope it ain't 40 years.
Lead you to Canaan. Canaan? Something like that? Yes. Promised
I'm
land.
You were looking for that cheat sheet in biblical studies.
Yes, I was. Hey, sometimes those Hebrew names, it's tough to pronounce. Just throwing it out there. But no. But I agree. And here's the thing, too.
You got to find somebody that, and again, I come back to it, now, it wasn't 40 years, but I'm telling you, Alabama, now they weren't as bad as Arkansas is right now, but Alabama felt like, by their terms and by their standards, the 90s and the late 90s after Stallings and then what went on until Saban or I felt like what we feel like now. And they found their Moses.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Nick Saban. Now, I'm not saying Arkansas is going to hire the next Nick Saban. I'm just saying you got to find somebody, which is, for Arkansas, the guy I point to in our lifetimes, but really, you had Frank Broyles, and then you had a really good coaching succession with Broyles, Holtz to Hatfield. Then you wandered around a little bit there with Jack Crow, and then the year with Kynes, and then Danny Ford. But I'm gonna tell you, Danny Ford did more for this program than people give him credit for.
Absolutely,
because he set the table for a very successful decade with Houston Nutt, and Houston Nutt kind of took him from the fringe of the wilderness. Because I'm telling you, from about 1990 till 98. It wasn't as bad as it's been these last 7 years, but it was ugly. Now, you had the 95 season when you got to the SEC championship game. You got drummed by Florida. But you had enough in the middle of it there to tide you over. And then Nutt came in and boom. Ford doesn't get enough credit for the way things took off.
He recruited a lot of great players,
he
man.
He did. And but you got to find that next guy that can have that instant, because it's going to take someone that, and maybe Morris can be the guy that hopefully we've seen signs of the ability to recruit players in here. I think our doubts are, and we're starting to have doubts about that because, all the decommitments and the defections right now from just the roster. Maybe he can be the Danny Ford that can set the table for the next guy. I don't know. I don't know how, only time's going to tell on all this, but Got to have players first. Somebody's got to get some players in here.
And to go back to Jackson's point about having the Arkansas players and all that, it'd be nice, but, there's just not – talent has to come into play, too, and there's just not enough in-state talent year in and year out to do that in football. However, you can still preach and you can still install the culture and the mentality of us against the world. We're always being disrespected because that's what Arkansas is to its core. It's a state – that is constantly disrespected, that constantly feels like they have to prove themselves, and is constantly having to go out and showcase exactly what they're capable of. And if you look at some of the great coaches and the great successes that have had in this program, they're coaches that were able to install the same thing. Nolan Richardson is the embodiment of that exact mentality.
Yep.
The team, he was a great coach. He was great X's and O's. He was great at that. But he installed a culture where he's like, nobody's going to give us anything. We have to go out and we got to do it even better. We have to earn everything extra. And that's why they saw the success that they had. It was the same thing. And I know that people will probably disagree with this, but even Bobby Petrino, to an extent, everyone hated Bobby Petrino. Everyone hated nationally, did not like that man, trashed him, constantly said that he was a terrible human being. But he had a mentality like it's us against the world. No one's going to be on our side for this. And he installed. I mean, you have to have a coach that has that. You have to have a type of culture that installs that. So until you have that, I don't think you have to have Arkansas players. You just have to have the Arkansas mentality.
Who sets that kind of culture?
Well, the athletic director does.
There you go. And that's why you miss Frank in a lot of ways, because he embodied what it was to be a Razorback. No offense to Hunter Yurachek, but he's still figuring it out like a lot of folks. Frank never had to figure it out. He created it.
No.
He knew. And that was just the constant. That was just always the North Star.
Yeah.
And, man, he surrounded himself with people that got it and understood it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's just one thing that, like I said, until I was having that conversation, you don't really think about a lot of these things. But you need that North Star right now that is everything you just laid out there.
Yeah.
Who is that North Star for this athletic department?
Yeah. And listen, it doesn't...
I don't think they have one.
No, and it doesn't have to be, and I want to make sure I make this clear, it does not have to be somebody where on their birth certificate it says they were born in the state of Arkansas.
Frank Broyles wasn't.
That's right. The great people that you look at, you know, Nolan Richardson wasn't. The great coaches, the great administrators, the people that have been around, for a lot of them were not. You know, people like to bring up a guy like, you know, man, people nearly miss Paul Wheels. Paul Wheels wasn't from Arkansas. Like, all these great memories and these great icons that people know from Arkansas, the majority of them were not from the state. Again, it's not being from here. It's being able to and have the mentality and the philosophy and the culture of what Arkansas is. Embody that. That's the difference. You don't have to have a state. Because, listen, I wasn't born in Arkansas. I was born in Texas, but I'm an Arkansan. Like, I was raised here. This is what I know. And so it doesn't matter where you're from. It matters on what you have as your own mentality about what you're doing. So I want to make that clear. Because like Hunter Yurachek, for instance, he's only been around now for, what, 2 years now?
He had enough time.
Yeah.
We don't know with him yet.
For all we know, he could be somebody that just falls in love with this place, ends up embodying the culture that's around, because it does take time. Well, you can't just do it overnight. And then it ends up being something where Hunter Yurachek, people look back on and say, man, that guy was all about Arkansas.
There could be an opening somewhere else, and he could be gone in 6 months.
That's right. We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. But it is important to embody that culture, because that's what drives the passion. That's what drives the type of power that this state can have. And it's what drives the fans. Because if you feel like you have a fearless leader up there that's going to do whatever it takes to win, then you're going to do whatever it takes to win.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Now, before we get into a What's Your Beef Wednesday, we got Maddie T over here going to give you what's trending here on the Morning Rush in a very over-the-top manner. Go ahead, Maddie T.
Well, I'm Maddie T, and these are your Morning Rush headlines. Razorback Baseball officially released their 2020 schedule with some solid non-conference games like Oklahoma, Texas, Baylor, and Michigan State. They have conference home games versus Florida, Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M, and Georgia, while also playing SEC road games versus Mississippi State, Ole Miss, LSU, South Carolina, and Tennessee. Football Scoop is reporting that Jim Harbaugh and his representatives are looking to get out of Michigan at the end of this season and find a new gig in the NFL. Michigan is out to a disappointing 5-2 start.
Oh, God, what would you give for 5-2?
But I think the Razorbacks are headed in the right direction, because at practice yesterday, it was reported by Hogbeat.com that Ben Hicks and Davion Warren got into a shouting match after Hicks way overthrew Warren on air drills. They had to be separated by assistant coaches, and there's no report on whether or not they settled the matter in a good old-fashioned Oklahoma drill right then and there.
All over an overthrow, huh?
Yeah.
Be sure to head to...
Wow.
Be sure to head to hitthatline.com for all the fantastic Morning Rush content and great Razorback coverage with articles, videos, podcasts, and more. Only available at hitthatline.com.
Over the top. I like it. That's what we need.
It's what you told him is over the top.
I told him over the top, and he delivered there.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
So you got your quarterback and a wide receiver. Brawling's not the right word.
They're
having
just,
to be separated.
Yeah.
Now, is this an exaggerated report, or what's going on here, John?
I mean, that's what it from Hogbeat.com. It says that was one of the things that happened during the practice yesterday, is that when it was on-air drills, which means there's no defense, no nothing. It's just skeleton drill. So there should not be major overthrows in that.
Now listen, people do things that, you know, this is, football practice is like work, right?
Yeah.
People at work do things to annoy you, but you generally don't go to fisticuffs the first time it happens. So
most don't, no, right.
I'm sure Warren feels like, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's what I gather is, I think it's just the boiling of frustrations.
Based on the way that Matty T was describing it there.
Right. Well, and also apparently Ben Hicks was yelling at Davion for either not... for not running the right route or not catching the ball or whatever. And then Davion yelled back, and I'm trying to clean this up. According, again, this is to the report, that, man, you threw that 20 yards over my head. What did you expect me to do? And then and it just kind of turned into something. But I guess they're still fiery, so they're still
This is either really, really good news or they're done.
Yeah, it can't be anything in the middle.
There's nothing in the middle on this
deal. Cannot be anything in the middle. So, but that's what I heard. But again, I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, and maybe this is because of the way that the world is now, but I feel like if there is ever something like this that happens in a football practice, they need to have an Oklahoma drill. I don't care if it's an offensive lineman going up against the kicker. Whoever got into the altercation, it's like a jump ball in NBA. Yep. Get those two guys. Like, all right, guys, settle it right here. Find out. One-on-one. Let's go.
I remember I was playing third, fourth, fifth grade boys club football. And the quarterback kept fumbling the ball in practice, right? He couldn't take the snap. So he was fumbling the snap every time. That's problematic. And you know me, even at a young age, I couldn't help myself with the smart aleck comments.
Oh, I'm shocked by this.
And I, after about 10 of these, you know, we're out there at the Jeffries Boys Club field. I can still see it today. Charlie Mann was my coach, and I made some smart aleck comment about, my God, you know, something. So he put me in at quarterback for one play.
How'd that go?
I immediately fumbled the snap, picked it up, and threw an interception. That was the end of my quarterback.
Wow, so double whammy. Not only did you fumble it.
But I picked it up and then threw an interception.
Wow.
And tackled the guy, but, you know.
And that's where your quarterback
Getting into it with a quarterback about he couldn't take the snap.
So. Yeah, exactly. Coaches need to have something like that happen. That's how you
settle it. Yeah. That's how my coach settled it in boys club football. Oh, you think you can do better?
Yeah.
Get in there.
Maybe that's what you need to do. All right, Davion, you go play quarterback. Ben Hicks, you run the route, and let's see what happens. Something like that. But that's what I'm saying. When I was in football, that was a good old-fashioned stuff we used to do. Like, I remember there – it wasn't really like verbal stuff, but if there was ever – some blocking or whatnot, and it got a little out of hand, started getting fired. It's like, all right, whistles blow. Guys, get those tackling dummies, those big things you hold up, put them 5 yards apart, see everybody line up next to them. Let's get after it. One time, whoever wins it is the one that has to, or whoever loses it is the one that has to run a lap.
Yep.
That's the way it needs to be done, the way God intended.
Remember, I was playing offensive line in junior high football, and me and another guy were getting into it in practice. He was on the defensive end. We kept going at each other. And it got to the point where if he was on the other end of the line, I was a pulling tackle going. I was going to go hit him. I don't care what my assignment was. I was going to hit him on every play. And I didn't know if the coaches noticed what was going on or not. And finally, the last play of the practice, coach looked at me and winked, goes, here's your last chance to get Cooper.
Wow.
But so you know,
I knew it.
And everybody walked off the field. They were fine. Yeah. You know, but that's the way you handle it back then.
That's right. That's right. It's stuff on the practice is usually very short-term memory. Don't hold grudges against your own players.
Right.
But on the competitive field, man, it gets fiery.
That's about the end of my playing career.
Boy, Tommy, you make it sound so grandeur of your playing career.
Well, no, you know.
You play quarterback, throw a pick, and then
it's like, man. I was one for one.
I can't believe football did not work out for you in your career based on these stories alone.
I know it.
Blowing assignments and whatnot. So, well, that's what needs to happen in Razorback football, but definitely an interesting story from that. Well, folks, it is a Wednesday, and I know people are beefing with things just like we are. So let's go ahead and get into What's Your Beef Wednesday here on The Morning Rush.
What is wrong with you?
Sir, I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time
for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
What's Your Beef Wednesday brought to you by The Fence Man. Hey, if you need new gates, new fence, maybe just fence repairs, anything involving a fence, The Fence Man does it all, from large commercial jobs to small residential repairs. If you need wood privacy fence, vinyl fencing, commercial or residential chain link, wrought iron fencing, custom installations, they do everything involving a fence. 479-782-3936. That's 782-3936 for The Fence Man. Financing is available. If it involves fencing, The Fence Man does it. The Fence Man, 479-782-3936. The Fence Man, he ain't afraid of no work.
All right, I'll go ahead and kick off What's Your Beef Wednesday. This week has been terrible for me. And it's not anything that's serious. I'll just go ahead and throw that out there. Of course, it never is when it's I get real dramatic about things. But on social media, especially Twitter, I have been part of some flame war about Houston Nutt. Because there are many of you out there that despise the fact that I don't like Houston Nutt. That I don't think Houston Nutt would be a good coach here at Arkansas. That I say that he did, he, as much as people remember him for the good times, there was also a lot of bad times, a lot of negative things that happened with Houston Nutt. But that's all in all not part of my beef. My beef is you people out there that believe that Houston Nutt, not someone like Houston Nutt, that Houston Nutt himself could step into this job as head coach of the University of Arkansas right now and take you back to those 8 wins that he averaged.
So why isn't he coaching now?
Exactly my point. He has not coached since 2011, Tommy.
Dude, look it up. I think I know the answer to this. What was his record the last 2 years at Ole Miss?
His last season was 2-10, 0-8. And then the season before that was 4-8 and 1-7. At Ole Miss. In the West, mind you. You know, the same division that Arkansas is in.
Listen, I think what people are missing, and it's what we've been talking about all morning, is the passion.
Which I get.
And that is the desire. I mean, we always yearn back and hearken back. Well, there's a big grown-up word. We hearken back.
What do you tie?
To a greater time. Now, I'm not trying to garner anything here. We want to garner great memories of years gone by. Because for Nutt and all the bad that came with the good, there was good.
There was
good.
That's
the thing. There was good.
There was good.
And that's what we hearken back to. It's like your failed fourth marriage, you know? When things aren't going so great in your fourth marriage, you think back to your first wife. You know, well, you know, she could actually cook and clean a little bit. What happened there?
But would the best thing be for you to go back to your first wife?
Probably not.
No,
but that's the
my
thought
point.
You're having.
I know, but that's my point. Is it's not good for you to go back to that.
You forget the meth addiction she had, but yes. Boy, she could cook and clean.
Yeah, because after about 6 months, you'd remember, oh, crap, this is exactly why I divorced you.
Exactly.
Yes. And I'm that's how I feel about the whole thing with Houston Nutt. Again, Houston Nutt was not a bad coach. Houston Nutt did have a lot of passion. He had a lot of fire. And to tell you the truth, Arkansas football right now could use passion and fire and emotion. They could.
He wouldn't be any worse than what we got going on now.
And I agree with that, too. But
we're not looking for what we got going on now or slight improvement.
No.
Damn it, I'm looking for someone that could give you Bobby Petrino 2010, 2011. Don't come in here with, well, we should hire Bobby back. Well, that ain't going to fix things
no,
either.
No, it's just,
again,
I feel the same
that's
way.
Your second wife.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know,
and
she
listen,
was hot, you know.
And I'll fully admit. Is when it
but she ran all your credit cards up and left you broke after 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you this. I can't stand Houston Nutt. I love Bobby Petrino. I did. I'm one of the biggest Bobby Petrino fans of all time. Right. I don't want Bobby back. It's just not, you had a great run with him in 4 years. That's great, but it's over. Bobby coming back is not going to fix anything. You need just to get the right guy, not the guy that you get nostalgic about because, oh man, it used to be so good. That's not fixing things. And I think, and you know, it's funny you used the marriage because I was going to use the analogy of just a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatnot and a breakup. But that's what you want is you never.
What's your story? You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. The best thing for you is after your fourth wife or whatever, the best thing for you and the best solution is not to go back to your first wife and say, okay, now it's going to be better again. It's not.
If you've had four wives, you probably need to find a mirror, you know?
Yes.
And I think that's where Arkansas's program really is right now. You need to find a mirror. And I don't know who needs to do the reflecting, who needs to be doing some soul searching. But this problem's beyond just Chad Morris.
It is.
I mean, we want to sit here and we can talk about, you know, it all fell apart when Sam Pittman left the O-line and all that. You know, we could keep coming up with reasons or excuses that might be reasons. But there's some systemic issues that go beyond just the head coach.
Yes.
There really are.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
One of the things I think fans and why Houston Nutt's name keeps coming up as a desirable name, even though there was a lot of issues at the end, because you hear what he talked about earlier this week at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, and you see the fire and the passion, and he's able to motivate, and he's able to excite a crowd, and you can see how you'd be able to excite a locker room. Well, no one's getting excited right now.
No, I agree with you.
Just that passion, just that ability to, and that's one thing we were talking about Frank earlier, and how, you know, he was the North Star for this program for forever. You know, that's what you're missing right now. Mm-hmm. He was able to come into a room and in about 7 minutes have it whipped into a frenzy and have everyone ready to buy tickets. Having everyone ready to run through a brick wall so they could run through that A. You don't have anybody up there right now that can deliver that.
I agree. And again, that's where I say that if you miss Houston Nutt, I get the power or the fire and the passion. I get all that. But you don't need him back. He doesn't need to come back. He does not need to be at the University of Arkansas. Sorry. He just doesn't. So that's my beef. People want a Houston Nutt back.
You want sports or you want non-sports?
I don't care. At this point, I mean, it's kind of been a hodgepodge this morning. So,
because I got beefs in both places. I mean, I can go sports or non-sports. Which one you want?
I did sports. You do non-sports.
Kinda what is wrong with you people out there? You know, we got roads all over our state that have the what I call the suicide lane. You know, the middle turn lane that's used both directions. You got generally a five-lane road. It's pretty. How is it that people don't know how to use these things? If you're turning left off the road you're on, you don't take up the inside lane going your direction and the turn lane as well. Get your butt all the way over into the turn lane so that you don't back traffic up, you know, 14 city blocks while you're waiting to turn left to get in the Chick-fil-A, you know?
Right.
Am I the only one that experiences this issue?
No.
Where a guy driving...
I have to.
The four-door truck with the long bed doesn't know how to get the long bed out of the road while he's trying to turn into the Chick-fil-A.
And no, I've experienced
there and you're sitting there and you can't go around because there's 100 cars to your right. It's my non-sports beef. We got to figure out how to use and how to properly maneuver. It's like a NASCAR pit stop, man. You got to zoom in there and you got to get out, you know. You can't just be sitting there with your butt hanging out over into traffic.
I knew that it was going to be something like that to that extent of a Tommy Kraft beef.
Or we can
agree with it.
Hey, listen, if you don't want that one, we can talk about the fake punt some more. Because I've got hours of material on the push pass.
Oh man,
it's up to you.
I'm all about that non sports one because I've experienced that too. But it's one of those things that I don't remember that I experienced until Tommy brings it up, and I'm like, yeah, that did actually really tick me off.
Yeah,
why that happened. So no, that's fair. Well, the thing is that Matty T has got to be. And, Tommy, I think you're really going to appreciate it. Before Matty T starts, Matty T has not known you and your beefs for a very long time. So it's not like he's like, oh, this would be some time.
This is purely coincidental.
He's participating in Watch Your Beef Wednesday for the first time.
That's right. So go ahead, Matty T.
What's funny is this morning I was so irritated by this when I was trying to come up with a beef. I couldn't. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe this is my beef. Mm-hmm. You know we try to live in a society, right? So there's certain etiquette that we abide by.
Living in a society here.
Well, my beef this morning is with people that don't understand early morning donut shop etiquette. You see, Tommy, since I started here, every morning I stopped by the certain donut shop at 5 o'clock in the morning to get a coffee. They've got the coffee ready. It's like, this is what you do in the morning. It's like, you get your coffee, you go. 5 o'clock in the morning is not the time to sit there for 15 minutes while other people are behind you and decide, oh, I think I'm going to have the strawberry. You know, it's like, I don't have anything else going on today. I'm just going to, how about one of the, 5 minutes ago, 6 minutes. It's like, I've got to get to work. Yeah. So that's my beef today is have a little courtesy for the people that actually have to get to work in the morning.
It's self-awareness. Self-awareness. Yeah. People lack it. Just like this was not mine, but I was talking with a good friend of mine yesterday at the gym, and he was saying, We about got into it in a convenience store in Rogers with a guy. I said, well, what happened? Because they were on their way back from a long trip and driving, and a guy was buying scratch-offs. Well, rather than getting out of the line, he was scratching them off, and then if he won, he was cashing them in and buying another one.
And you know the shavings are just all over the counter now.
And did this three times while the line's backing up. Because he wouldn't get, because it's like no awareness at all. They finally just come, hey, bud, you got to move, you know?
Yeah. You got people.
He's buying them and then cashing them, buying them and cashing them, buying them and cashing them. These scratch off people, man, listen, I'm all for the Arkansas Scholarship Lottery and I'm all for these, but get out of the way, man.
Yeah. You know,
I like living in a state where we have the lottery, but you buy one of these scratch offs, get out of the way. Go buy them and go over there and sit at the table.
Grab them and move them. That's all it takes.
Get your pack of cigarettes and your RC Cola.
Yeah.
And go over and sit.
You better get a moon pie then.
Yeah, got to get a moon pie to go along with
an RC Cola.
Yeah.
So, Tommy, how would you have handled this situation this morning? Because my reaction was to peel off and drive off and let them see how upset I was as I drove away.
My reaction sometimes is gauged by whether or not I'm wearing a station shirt or driving a station vehicle.
Or if anybody's around that may notice who you are.
Look around. Are there cameras in this place? Could this?
Yeah.
How much trouble could I get in here for actually speaking my mind? Yeah. That's frustrating, man. You catch, particularly you get caught in the wrong mood on something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, you know how coffee people are anyways.
People just lax.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My mom, my wife. You don't speak to them until they've had coffee. And they think that's their birthright.
And you think that's normal.
They think
that's
it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like I can just be a complete jerk if I don't have my
coffee. Well, I didn't have my coffee.
Okay, so I can go I can go murder somebody. Well, I didn't have my coffee.
Case dismissed.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't get you anywhere, man. Doesn't get you anywhere.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Arkansas will be taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide this Saturday at 6 p.m. down in Tuscaloosa. Of course, Alabama being the number one team in the country. But after Tua's injury this past weekend, there's definitely a lot of questions about how they will play out the rest of the season. And to join us and talk a little bit more about this game and the Alabama Crimson Tide, we welcome in Aaron Suttles, who writes for The Athletic. Good morning, Aaron. How you doing this morning, buddy?
Hey, fellas. How are you?
We're doing really well. We're not really, you know, trying to promote Arkansas as far as winning this game against Alabama. I think that everyone knows exactly how this game is going to go. But I'm curious, just getting from your perspective, what's the vibe like right now in Alabama, in Tuscaloosa, among the fans, knowing that Tua's out not only for this game, but possibly the LSU game, the timetable is kind of up in the air. What's the feeling and mood right now knowing Tua's injury?
Well, as you can imagine, it's not good. But this fan base, despite all the success, is used to devastating injuries, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. But they've also went through this last year with Tua before the Orange Bowl, you know, after the SEC Championship game, the same surgery, and will he or won't he play, and all of that. So they're certainly used to dealing with injuries that are devastating. But I don't think they're I wouldn't say they're numb, but they are accustomed to this feeling.
Well, and also with what Alabama's been able to do this year, I'm not saying that they're not number one team in the country type of caliber, because it's still Alabama, for crying out loud, but it certainly seems like not only offensively they've been great with Tua, but defensively they've definitely had some issues there, and I know injuries have played a part in that. I mean, is this still a team, though, that's built to win a national championship? I feel weird even asking that because it's Alabama, but do they still have the makings of it, even having the injuries that they've had?
You know, it feels different than it has in the past in terms of seasons in which Alabama's won a national championship. Probably, I'd say the closest in terms of feeling like maybe they're not as dominant would have been 2015, but even 2015 they had an identity they could hang their hat on, which was Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry won a Heisman that year. You could give him the ball 40 times a game and felt relatively comfortable about what you were going to get offensively, and certainly Alabama was better defensively then. I don't know if this is a national championship team. I think there are more teams capable of winning a national championship this year, which certainly lessens it increases your degree of difficulty, meaning one slip-up where in the past Alabama got in with one loss, that may not be the case this year. So, you know, if you get in the tournament, who knows? You get hot at the right time, who knows? But it certainly doesn't feel like previous years in which Alabama's won a national championship.
Yeah, you know, Saban's a hard read, but I kind of wonder how he feels about it with his team having, you know, it's kind of hard to imagine you're questioning the number one undefeated team in the country, but people are that this team's not as good, and you look around the division, LSU's better, Auburn's better, and Georgia's still on top of their game, even though they've lost one already, certainly capable of winning. Is he using this as motivation for this team, or how has he responded to a lot of the question marks surrounding his team this year?
My interpretation, and having covered him his entire career at Alabama, is this has been a very trying season for him. It's been very taxing, and a lot of people may find that curious, but, I mean, yes, Alabama is now a dynamic passing offense that sets the world on fire and scores quickly, but at heart, Nick Saban is, was, and always will be a defensive-minded coach. So I imagine it tears at his very core the fact that his defense continues to play undisciplined, continues to allow a lot of points, a lot of yards, they commit a lot of penalties. It's not who he is as a coach. And so I think that has been very trying on him. And certainly when you lose your two starting inside linebackers during fall camp, and you having to play two true freshmen, that adds to it. And then you lose Quinnen Williams, the number one defensive player in the country last year. Terrell Lewis started this season injured. He's finally turned it on. He's had four sacks in the last two games. He's now the leader in sacks in the SEC. So there is reasons for optimism, but for Nick Saban, who is such a perfectionist, this has been a very taxing season. I think if you ask him off the record, I don't think he'd tell you that Alabama's the best team in the country this year, right? At least right now.
Well, Aaron, looking at this game between Alabama and Arkansas, I guess if there was going to be a situation where you needed to play a backup quarterback, which Mac Jones is going to be the guy, you would want it to be at home against arguably the worst team in the SEC, if not one of the worst ones in Power 5 in Arkansas. So how do you think that they're all approaching this game? Is it going to be kind of a thing where they want to really let Mac Jones go out there and showcase a little bit? Is it going to be playing more conservative, running the ball a lot more? I mean, how are they going to handle this offensively going up against the Razorbacks?
But the timing of it's particularly interesting because Alabama has really started to assert itself on its offensive line. And they got Deontay Brown back from suspension. Landon Dickerson's now playing center. They've got the starting five on the offensive line set, and they've really started to run the ball a lot more efficiently the last two games. So I think that's kind of where they were headed anyway. I mean, they were never going to be 2012 Alabama where they ran the ball and were dominating that way because that's just not the skill set of this offense. It's all about the receivers and the passing game. But I think with Mac Jones, you will see more runs, and then you will see play-action passes off of those runs because it's just foolish to have those four wide receivers and not utilize them. So, but I also don't think they're going to showcase Mac in terms of letting him go out and throw it 40 times. That's just that's not going to happen.
In your opinion, what is the timetable for Tua's return? If he's back for the LSU game, how healthy and effective can he be?
I think he'll play. That's my opinion. It was a bad ankle sprain. From what I've been told, the nearest comparison I can get is in 2014, Cam Robinson, Alabama starting left tackle, had a severe high ankle sprain 2 weeks before LSU. So they played Tennessee, had a bye week. He played 2 weeks later. Now, left tackle's a little different than quarterback. There's going to be more stress placed on the ankle from a quarterback who has to move around. If you're looking for positives, it's not his plant ankle. But there's no way he's going to be 100%. It's just not medically possible for him to be 100%. But I think Alabama's had a lot of success with these surgeries and these high ankle sprains. I think he'll play, but it's unreasonable to think he'll play at a 100% strength.
Aaron, I'd like to get your perspective because I've always get curious about people outside the state of Arkansas and what they think about the Razorbacks this year. Because Chad Morris, it's a struggle this year. They're sitting at 2-5, 0-4 in conference play, losing to Jacksonville State, had that absolutely horrendously embarrassing fake punt attempt that went viral this past weekend against Auburn. It's just really, really bad right now for Razorback fans. What do you make of their situation? What do you make of Chad Morris? Just everything that's going on right now in Fayetteville.
It's puzzling because you look at what Arkansas is traditionally as a football program. They have a good history. They've got a strong alumni base. They've got good boosters. Their facilities are good. They're not in the strongest area to recruit, but they border states in which you can go get players. I think the thing that really hurts it is obviously being in the West. If Arkansas was in the East, you know, things would be a little more palatable. But right now, things just has gotten so sideways that you need some stability. And at least, and this is what I tell Tennessee fans too, you can't keep changing coaches every couple of years. There's just no chance for your program to sustain that way. So, you know, hopefully Chad Morris can bring some players in. And if he ends up not being the guy, at least you have a roster full of some guys that can play SEC-level ball. If you can't recruit, then I just don't ever see a way he's ever going to win. But if he can at least get some players in the Dallas area or his ties to Texas and get some of those guys coming up to Fayetteville, well, then at least you have a base of talent for the next guy who comes in. But it's tough right now. I mean, there's really no way to explain our program with Arkansas's history and resources is currently riding a really long losing streak in the SEC.
You know, people have really enjoyed the Alabama. I think college football fans have really enjoyed Alabama Clemson in the college football playoff. What odds would you put on those two teams facing each other in the postseason? Because I know they're at the top of the polls and in both right up there, but a lot of people doubting whether or not they can get to the finish line undefeated. Both of them.
Yeah, count me among those. I'm not saying it can't happen, but there are a lot more better teams this year. I mean, Ohio State, we don't know yet, but Ohio State might be the best team in the country. They seem to be the most balanced team in the country, but they also have a quarterback who hadn't really been battle-tested in huge, huge games yet. Oklahoma's defense is a little better. Are they championship caliber yet? We don't know. As you mentioned, Georgia's got the one loss, but they got a chance to play their way back into it. LSU is playing really good football. There are more teams capable, so it makes the degree of difficulty a lot greater. I don't think Clemson's that great this year. They're still a really good football team. I don't think Alabama's that great this year. Still a really good football team. We'll say with Alabama, I do see them getting better. As I mentioned, the offensive line starting to play well, the running game starting to assert itself, and the defense is getting a little better from a pass rush perspective. But it's still nowhere where they were last year in terms of a team and where they were in previous seasons. It's just there are a lot more teams capable of winning this year.
Let's just go ahead and assume that Tua is going to be back for that LSU game. You mentioned he won't be 100% healthy. It's just impossible. But if he's good enough to play, at least to make it through that game, I just don't know if I can go against LSU and how they're looking. But also, I don't know if I can go against Bama because it is always Alabama. Since we won't be able to have a chance to catch up with you by the time that game rolls around, what are you going to make of that matchup? Do you think that LSU, this might be the year where they break that losing streak against the Tide?
It's their best chance. But we've said that before. They were 8-0, number one in the country with Leonard Fournette coming to Bryant-Denny, and they got absolutely stonewalled. This is probably their best opportunity because they finally joined the 21st century and started to throw the ball down the field. But I'm up in the position they need to show me. They put too much pressure on this game in the past, and they couldn't rise to that level. Can they handle it this year? We'll see. I'm going to go with the assumption I'm going to make you prove it to me. So until LSU beats Alabama, I'm going with Alabama.
Fair enough. And I think that it's going to be hard to go against Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide this year. No matter what their team looks like, they always find ways to win. Aaron Suttles, who writes for The Athletic covering Alabama. You can follow him on Twitter at Aaron Suttles. Really appreciate you hopping on with us this morning, buddy. We'll be catching up with you later down the road, all right?
All right, guys. Take care.
Hey, appreciate it, man. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
That look at this week's game brought to you by JP&O Prosthetic and Orthotic Labs are here for you. And, hey, if you had an amputation or severe injury that's leaving you feeling left out of the game, you don't have to be. Today's prosthetics will allow you to live a full life and participate in all the activities you like with technology to improve gait and movement. JP&O has braces for back, knee, and other joint injuries, along with periodontic services for foot care as well. JP&O has locations in Harrison, Mountain Home, Batesville, Branson, West Plains, Missouri, Rogers, and in Fayetteville to serve you. JP&O Prosthetic and Orthotic Labs, solutions, support, and value with world-class technology and service.
You know, it's funny to get that perspective from Alabama. They're on another stratosphere when it comes to success, and I think it was a good point that Aaron brought up about just what the team looked like last year when they lost Tua and the mentality they had. They ended up still playing for a championship, still doing okay. But, you know, this is different a little bit because it's in the middle of the regular season. And Alabama, all things considered, they haven't really been tested by some of the better teams on their schedule. Their first part of their schedule was really easy. Now you're going to have to play Alabama, not only just LSU, but you're going to have Auburn coming up later as well. I mean, it's not going to get any easier. So,
and it's like three of their last five are at home, I was looking at during that interview.
So yeah.
That, you know, including the Arkansas game. But, you know, they get Arkansas and LSU at home. They go on the road to Mississippi State. That's not going to be that challenge is going to be similar to Arkansas, maybe a little tougher, but not a whole lot tougher for Alabama. So you get some time. You should have Tua certainly by that game, closer to 100%. Western Carolina, and then you get, of course, the Iron Bowl, and it's going to be at Auburn this year. So, I mean, who's going to beat them? LSU and Auburn are the only threats, of course. So are they going to lose both of those games? I don't see them losing to LSU at home until Tua got injured. Yes. And then that changed everything.
That changes everything. Because I was the same way. Once Tua got hurt.
And I know they're playing a lot of freshmen, but those freshmen will not be freshmen here in a couple more weeks.
No,
I mean,
no.
The mistakes they're making, the coaching they're getting, a lot of these things aren't going to continue to repeat themselves with Alabama.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is that LSU game, we'll know a lot more about them this weekend against Auburn.
And honestly, you know, good coaches will tell you, you can only get your team up to a fever pitch so many times a year, mentally at the sharpest point to play in a big game. What do you think Saban's played that card yet this year? I mean, he knows what the back half of the schedule in the last couple of weeks are like, and he knows what the LSU game means. They didn't play a ranked team till A&M. They probably mentally got really on point for that game, but you know, I think they'll go to another level when they play LSU. I still like Bama at home, even with Tua's injury in that game, just because, A, they're at home. LSU's probably as close as they've ever been to beating them, but Alabama, trust me, they mentally don't think they're going to lose that game. And that goes a long ways. And I don't know that LSU has 1,000% conviction they can go and win that game in Tuscaloosa.
I'm telling you right now, when Auburn and LSU play this weekend, if LSU just curb stomps Auburn, which I'm not saying will happen, no, but if they did, they're capable of it, then it might be over.
They may mentally go to that level then.
Yeah, because LSU's already been tested. They've had to play Florida. They've had to play Texas.
Yep.
Texas being on. I mean, they've
much
been
more tested. I agree.
Much tested. So, and they've always come through, and they always made the plays. And again, I have a hard time picking Bama. But
they haven't done it against Bama.
And that's right.
They're arch rival. I mean, I know that that them playing Ole Miss is a big deal, and there's other games that are big to LSU. But the game that matters, the game that decides the division, is the game with Bama.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of feel weird because I may be rooting for LSU in that game. Is that weird?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I just want to see a great football game.
Better than what we've seen the past few years, because this game has never been good, I feel like. It's always been hyped up to be good, and it's never ended up being good.
Never lived up to the expectations. I just, you know, it's a what's your beef Wednesday. I just hate that it's not in prime time. I don't know what CBS is doing about that, but and how they've chosen the games they've chosen. And I know Notre Dame's always a big draw because they had the Notre Dame Georgia game earlier in the year. They wanted to put that there, but still, Bama LSU, you got to have that in prime time.
It's a shame.
Can the league not make an exception with the TV contract? Can we not do something? It's too late now. I understand, but my goodness, how does this not happen?
I don't want to see the sunshine out when kickoff happens for this game. And
says TBA on their schedule. Is that official that it's at 2:30?
Yes, it is officially at 2:30. It came out yesterday.
On Bama's media notes, it says 2:30.
Maybe they're still trying to fight it
maybe
to get
they
a
are.
Change.
Yeah.
But imagine, Tom, if you were, of course, you are an Arkansas fan, but just imagine that Arkansas was number one and you were welcoming in the number two team in the country on a Saturday and you're playing at 2:30.
Yeah.
Be terrible. 2:30's
lost its luster.
Yeah. And it's not to say it's not bad, but for those big time
CBS
games,
hasn't, but 2:30 has.
Yeah. Those need to be primetime night games, maybe.
Yeah. Hey, if you're not going, a lot of people aren't going to the game, but if you're looking for a place to get out and watch the game this week, go to Joe's Grill and Cantina. They'll have the Hogs game on Saturday night, plus a lot of other great games. You can enjoy half-price apps and taps during the Arkansas game beginning at 6. So great place to go out and have dinner, watch some of the game. And you can do that at Joe's Grill and Cantina. They've got TVs all around the restaurant. You can sit up at the bar, and they've got multiple TVs there. Brisket nachos, Mexican pizza, their big sampler platter. The guys here love Taco Tuesday. They go every week for dollar tacos.
That's right.
You can check this stuff all out during the game, half-price apps and taps at Joe's Grill and Cantina every time any Hog game is on. Joe's Grill and Cantina, 3400 South 74th Street across from Harps.
I'm going to just completely and totally destroy the final 2 minutes of this segment since we brought up Joe's. Barbecue nachos. Is it barbecue or is it Mexican food?
Mm-hmm.
Which one is it?
It's Mexican food.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So are nachos always going to be Mexican food then?
For me, yes.
Okay.
Because if it's nachos, it's going to get covered in cheese and it's going to get covered in other items that really take away from the, if I'm going to have barbecue and say it's brisket nachos, you're not going to be really tasting a lot of brisket. I know it's loaded up with brisket and you're going to get some brisket flavor, but you're not eating brisket.
What about brisket tacos? Is that barbecue? Deal,
because the brisket can be the star of the show. Nachos, the chips and the cheese always have to be the star of the show. Because you can have wonderful brisket on there, but if the chips are stale and the cheese hadn't melted right, the whole thing's a failure.
That's fair. Okay.
If you're having a brisket taco, if the brisket's really good, the rest of it can kind of be subpar, and it's still a good meal.
So you go with whoever's the star of the show is what they take.
Star of the show and nachos is always chips and cheese.
Okay. I had to ask because I got into this debate.
Listen. This is my wheelhouse right here.
That's why I'm asking you.
When people want to ask about how to make a pot of chili or how to grill a steak or whether brisket nachos or Mexican food or barbecue, this is my wheelhouse. I've got all the answers for this stuff.
Well, Hacker,
I can't solve the offensive line problems, but I can help you with these things.
Well, Hacker and Harrison says barbecue nachos is definitely barbecue, not Mexican food.
No.
I'm just saying. I'm going off what they're saying.
What you cannot have good nachos without chips and cheese. I mean, if they pour that old stuff out of a can that you get at Sam's, you know, back there on aisle 17, that you need to the industrial can opener to open, you know, the stuff they serve at the Boys Club concession stand, nacho cheese, bad nachos.
You got to have shredded. You go with the melted cheese or the actual cheese?
Both.
Well, yeah, we all love to have both. But
that's the best answer in life. Both.
Who does both? Is there a place that does both?
Oakland has some nachos that do both.
Why don't more places do both? It seems like you only get one or the other.
Yep.
It's either the liquid cheese or the shredded cheese.
But it needs to be good liquid cheese.
Yeah, that's true too. I'm hungry.
You can't have nachos with bad chips and bad cheese.
I completely agree.
You can put world-class Texas brisket on it. It's not going to make bad chips and cheese better. Just not.
So let me ask
you. You can put world-class brisket in a taco, and that's going to be a pretty good taco.
Let me ask you this real quick before we get out of here. Shrimp tacos, seafood, or Mexican food?
Ooh.
Throwing a curveball at you.
Mm. The only time I've really had a lot of those is by the ocean, so I'm going to go seafood.
Oh, okay. I thought I was going to get you in that one. That's all right. See? That's
star of the show. The seafood's the star of the show.
I need food. That's all I know right now. I need food somehow, some way.
All right.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I've had a few of you texting and calling into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. I love this show because we will talk sports. We will have a big time what we think is revelations in our sports topics. We will break it down the best of our ability. We get a couple, few text messages here and there. But when we bring up something as simple as barbecue nachos, is it Mexican food or is it barbecue? It explodes with comments. It's incredible. And that's why I love this show, is that we can talk sports. We have a lot of interaction with sports. We have a lot of people listening because of sports. But if we want to deviate a little bit, right there, ready on the money, isn't
it? And some of you get it, and some of you are stuck in the sticks in the mud.
Yes.
On that.
Yes. You can't please everybody.
Nope.
You wouldn't be good. You just can't do it in this business. You can't please everybody, but we like to have some fun. And
barbecue nachos are nachos first. They're not barbecue first. Mm-hmm. Let's get that straight.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you, my man. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Randy is on the phone line. What's going on, Randy?
Morning, fellas. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Thanks for taking my call. First thing I want to say is, Tommy, whoever messed up your order of nachos, man, they should be ashamed of themselves. The passion in his voice when he said, the cheese ain't melted right.
Right.
And I know the man of character you are, you went ahead and ate those nachos anyway.
Absolutely. And probably drug my finger across the edge of the dish, the plate or whatever, to get the last little bit of cheese off, you know.
You get a fork.
Yeah.
My question, actually, I really want to gauge y'all's thoughts. You were talking about having to make a change in order to increase ticket sales and get everybody back involved, and maybe even possibly even in recruiting and turn that thing around.
Yep.
I want to just hear your thoughts, both of y'all, on what caliber of coach and what kind of investment you think we need to make. Do we need to, and I'll just throw out something ridiculous, do we need to throw out $8 million a year at someone like Urban Meyer? Is that where we are, that caliber, that amount of money, or can we, you know? Mm-mm. And I'll hang up and listen. Yeah. I just want to hear y'all thoughts.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Randy.
And I'm glad you brought up that name, Urban Meyer, because he didn't even really know who the coach was when he was in Little Rock.
Uh-huh.
What you've got to have, Randy, it's not about how much money you spend. And I know money's a function. We think money is a function of getting a better coach. Not always the case, i.e. see Jimbo Fisher in Texas A&M.
Or Jim Harbaugh in Michigan.
Yeah. So you're looking, I think at Arkansas, you got to have someone that understands what it means to be a Razorback. And not just because they say it, not just because they nail the hog call in the introductory press conference, not just because they put the hat on right, but someone that grows into it. And again, Frank Broyles wasn't from Arkansas. He was a Georgia boy that had coached at Missouri and came to Arkansas.
Yep.
But no one loved the Razorbacks more or surrounded himself with people that would die for the Razorback program. And that's eventually what you got to get back to. That's why we've been getting text messages and here on the show and calls for Houston Nutt. It's the first wife where things were good for the first 5 years and you forget about the meth addiction the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
You know. You forget about all the bad things. You only remember the good things because you and your fourth wife aren't working out. Well, Arkansas's got to look in the mirror. There's some problems systemically within this program. You've got to surround yourself as the leadership of this program with more people that are truly, to their core, passionate about Razorback sports.
Yep.
And Razorback football. And that anything short of greatness, not just saying it, not just going to the Petty Gene Razorback Club and talking about, you know, one Razorback, and not just getting on a bus tour and giving lip service. I mean, in every act and deed and what you do every day is designed to make Razorback football better.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're anything less, you're not going to accept. And it's the program first, the program second, the program third, and it's not about anything else. It's a culture change. This program's got some, in my opinion, some deep-seated cultural issues that began long before Hunter Yurecek. And it's just a symptom of Frank's not there no more. And I don't know what it's going to take, but there's going to have to be a change in leadership at the top to make this thing get back to where it once was, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. No, I have been saying that all morning long and agreeing with you that
this, and I'm not saying Hunter, I'm not saying that you got to change the AD. I'm saying you've got to have a culture that permeates the athletic department from top to bottom. That's passionate about what it is to be a Razorback, mm-hmm. and what this program means to this state and how important it is. It's not optional. This is do or die. This is root hog or die in this state. I don't think everybody up there gets that. It's about working here 3 or 4 or 5 years as the associate AD to the whatever department and moving on to the next deal. Well, for many years, you had people that they came and never left because it wasn't about career building. It wasn't about resume building. It was about building a better football program and a better athletic department. It was program first. I'm not sure it's always that way.
Well, my fear and my fear in all of it, though, is that you won't be able to get that again. Just because of the way that college athletics is, the way that this conference is. I, you know, because we even talked about it in coaching. I mean, for head coaches to stay at a college football program 10 years is unheard of these days. Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And I think it's almost the same way with athletic directors to an extent, because very seldom do you see, even at the greatest of programs, even at a place like Alabama where I mean, my goodness, well, do you even need an athletic director for how much money you're raking in because of the football program? I mean, it's that level. You've seen changes made in the athletic department and at the athletic director position. It's just, I just don't know if college athletics in what it is today is set up to have somebody who can stay for the long haul and be able to ingrain themselves in any particular school, not just Arkansas. I just don't know if it's set up that way. I wish it was. I wish it was like that, because as so many people, and I think I made this a comparison and analogy a few weeks ago, that the Arkansas Razorbacks to a lot of fans is like your kids. You don't love them because they're good. You love them because they're yours. Yeah. And that's what.
And they frustrate you. They make you mad.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, all the emotions that come along with it. But at the end of the day, they're your kids. And no matter what, yeah, you love them. And these people that call or send us tweets or however they get in touch with us that I'm done, I'm never watching another game. And I always want to reply, yeah, until next week, you know. Yeah. I don't care how bad it gets. I'm not going to quit being a follower and a fan of the program. And it's an illness. It's a sickness.
Yep. Keep coming back for more.
I mean, we can't help ourselves, because there is no other team that we're going to turn. I mean, you don't just quit your team. You know, there's not going to be a professional sports franchise in this state. They're not bringing the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball here. And there's not going to be another major Division I program in any sport here either. Doesn't mean that Arkansas Little Rock or Arkansas State aren't going to have good years. But unless a drastic structural change happens in Arkansas, the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville is always going to be the flagship.
Always. Always.
And that's what makes this state unique. And that's why it makes it important to all of us what happens up there. And when it's not going well and it continues to not go well, that's why we should all be upset. The question is, we talked about this early in the show, and not to get overly biblical with the comparison, but who is the Moses here? Because we're wandering in the wilderness, friends. Who's going to lead us out? And that's what you're in search of, because I don't think any of us believe you got the guy right now. And it may not just be your football coach. You're going to have to get, it's going to take a team of people to dig us out of this ditch,
mm-hmm,
to dig us out of this hole, to find our way out of this wilderness we're wandering around in.
It's possible.
God help us all if it takes 40 years.
Well, it's possible to get out of it, because listen, and I know it's not the big programs, but almost every other program at the University of Arkansas is in great shape. I mean, basketball seems like it's really going to be in great shape. Baseball, we know, is in great shape. Yeah. I mean, I know it's not football, but it can happen at Arkansas, and it can be successful once again.
But football, 65% or 70% of your athletic department.
And you got to
have around
it.
That.
You got to have it good. You don't have to have it elite. You just have to have it good and have fans that are caring about it and still passionate about it. But we can end on this one real quick, too. Real question becomes, is barbecue nachos Mexican food, or is it barbecue?
It's nachos.
Well, people, I got people disagreeing with you. Maddie, what do you think? You're a food guy. What do you think?
I think it's nachos. And in fact, sometimes when I've been to a place, if they put the barbecue on the side, I'll just eat the barbecue separately, because I think you got nachos there. You're just basically putting barbecue on the nachos.
So you think it's correct. Mexican food?
I don't. That's saying that nachos are Mexican, you know?
Right, yeah. So, yeah. So you are. So what are you saying?
It's nachos are not Mexican food.
Nachos are not Mexican
food? No, I think they're American.
Oh.
Is that too extreme?
Now you really just destroyed my whole thing here. So what, are tacos Mexican?
Yes.
Okay. So what about brisket tacos? Are those Mexican food, or is it barbecue?
That's Mexican food.
Okay, that's Mexican food. Shrimp tacos Mexican food?
That's seafood.
See, we got to have some consistency here. We got to figure out what the crap's going on. Forget the Razorback football team. This is something that needs to be solved today. My goodness. I don't know. All I know is I'm hungry.
Put a Twitter poll up. That'll solve it.
Oh, yeah, because Twitter is the most accurate form and platform of any type of opinion. That is for sure. Well, what a great way to end the show. Appreciate everybody that's been listening into the Morning Rush today. For Tommy Kraft and Maddie T, I am John Neighbors. Same sports show, same sports channel tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everybody. We will see you then.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.